Say What? Say What Radio Show. With no agenda. It's always a surprise. But if we're not having fun, we're doing something wrong.
And welcome to the Say What Show. It is July 11th, 2020. My name is Nancy Hopkins. With me is Dolly Howard and Ani Avedisian. And, well, I hope that Dolly's here. I know Ani is. Hi, Ani. Hi, Dolly. Yeah, yeah.
Hi. Hello, everyone. Hello, hello.
I'm here. Hello.
Awesome. 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 So Jan had another, Jan Shaw. She does Cosmic Creating, and it's an hour show. She did another great job today.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, she really, I mean, she's really pulling up some information and trying to make sense of it for us. Well done, Jan.
Amen.
Yeah. So
I love it.
No, that's fine.
A non-1925, yes, this is Say What.
Oh. yeah. Oh, I didn't post it in there. I normally do. I got talking with Ani.
It happens.
It does. It does. So, Ani, you've been busy this last month. Why don't you, just sort of start telling us what you've been doing and what you want to convey to the audience here, because I'm not saying that you have an agenda. We don't have an agenda on the radio show. that's our claim to fame. We have no
Everybody
agenda.
Everybody has an agenda. And For those who claim not to have an agenda, the agenda is to point out the agendas that other people have.
That's right. That's all. That's all we do. So
yes, but that's an agenda.
Yeah.
And that's
you people. That
and this is sci-fi.
This is sci-fi. Yeah, reality.
Ray
sci-fi.
Bradbury could not have come up with all of this. Come on, this is the best sci-fi ever. You're standing back and watching humanity go through some very, very bizarre rituals. And when you do step back and you come out of your meditation, because I maintain, unless you have a practice of meditation and prayerful contemplation to keep your aura clean and pure and vital and stable, you are not going to make any sense of the bizarre things that are going on. So when you've just come out of one of those wonderful meditations, a deep breath and relaxation, a walk in the woods, if you have that luxury around you, and then you step back from that higher perspective and take a look at the bizarre rituals that people are going through, it looks very much as though everyone is completely indoctrinated and going through this illusion that the big spoon has fed them this story, and they're all wearing their masks and standing 6 foot in line and shaming each other. And, you know, so now what I'm seeing, by the way, I understand perceptual engineering. It was part of my job back in the day to write the programs that would make people fall into this trap. So I understand it in ways I probably can't even articulate at the moment. Hopefully shortly I'll be able to tell more about my past. But I do understand it. But I have lost a great deal, I think, of my sympathy for the people whose egos are so entrenched in not entertaining an alternative point of view, because they'd rather be, they don't want to know that they're wrong, you see. They'd rather hate Trump more than they love America. And this is a problem that we're seeing now. We've been talking about New World Order, perceptual engineering, social conditioning, pushing the agenda of socialism, globalism, and all of the things that have never worked. Because, you know, if socialism worked, everybody would be jumping off the boat in Miami and swimming to Cuba, wouldn't they? Well, they have been back in the Cold War. They would have gone, oh, my gosh, I can't possibly enjoy living in my beautiful suburban home in West Central London. No, Let me give up my fish and chip shop and my steak and chips. And let me go now and live in downtown Yerevan or downtown Moscow, you know. So you know, everything we've ever fought against, good or bad, every, you know, whatever every country's gone through, we've gone through it all too. But good or bad, whatever you want to say about America, we've always understood the importance of national sovereignty because it keeps out that globalist element of homogenization. And homogenization, I'm not talking about milk, which was never a good thing when they did that to milk. Anyway, I'm not talking about milk or dairy products. I am talking about the cabal, the establishment, clearly making a New World Order bid right now for control of the world. Slowly but surely, they've engineered everyone's perception, day by day, media control, you know, persistently pushing a narrative, eroding everyone's intellect until they would get to a point where they would release, let's just call it, this could be anything, but let's say they want to release the contagion, which they did. They wanted to release this contagion to take out a huge portion of the world, which failed. It so miserably failed, and I won't go into details why, let's just say by the grace of God, it failed. And the cabal had no option to pretend that it didn't fail because they didn't have a bug out plan. Because years and years of indoctrination, media control, have another cell phone, have another Angry Birds app, have another distraction so that you forget your soul sovereignty, you erode your intellect, you forget that you're part of a divine cosmos. They knew that if that contagion worked, and they had no reason to think that it wouldn't, they would wipe out half the population, wipe out the rest with a vaccine, and do what was their end game all along, which is to run this planet as a company with a few people that were left as their employees or slaves, I would say, and to just use the company, you know, use the planet as a great company, which if you take a look at how industry and trade and agriculture has been moved around, they've been doing that for the last 5-6 decades. So here I am standing back, looking at people wearing masks, which clearly are useless because if masks prevented contagion, doctors would be giving them to you every single flu season. You know? So I'm watching all these people standing in line, following the orange arrows, 6 feet apart, acting ridiculous. I mean, they see you coming down the aisle in a supermarket, which I don't go into anymore because I will not be wearing a mask, but they flatten themselves against the wall. I mean, you want to get a little bell, don't you? And ring it and walk up and down going, unclean, unclean. Bring out your dead, bring out your dead. It's a science fiction scenario. If it was a pandemic, there'd be bodies everywhere. Every 1 in 10, or like the bubonic plague, 1 in 3 would be dropping dead. Undertakers would be completely overwhelmed, dying of exhaustion before the plague could get to them. Hospitals would be overwhelmed, and they're not. We know that from talking to a lot of people who work in them, plus all the citizen reporters that are going in there. You know, I'm watching the most bizarre ritual. So the establishment's plan failed. They had to pretend that the contagion was real. And they've given everybody this illusion that it is killing tons of people, lots of people. Oh my gosh, people everywhere, they're just dropping dead. You go to the 7-Eleven, someone drops dead. You're driving along the highway, every third car crashes because the driver is dead. Because this is a pandemic and everyone's dying. Oh my God, except you see, they're not. Because it's not. They have continued with the illusion even though their plan failed. And now they know how easily controlled people are. Yes, there are pockets of resistance everywhere. One of my favorite things is to open carry a firearm and go and sit in a cafe in the Pacific Northwest. Because this is an open carry state, by the way. Oregon and Washington. Well, at least I hope they are, because that's what I've been doing. You know, these are open carry states. So as you know, you can, as long as you don't conceal it without a license, you can open carry. So the combination of an open carry Ruger SP101357 revolver and your drop dead British stern nanny voice, you know, it goes a long way to spreading awareness here. You know, it's one of my favorite things to do these days is to get out there and go, people, what are you doing? So the establishment now know, even though there are pockets of resistance and which are growing more and more. Hello, everybody out there in the coffee shops, open carrying. I love you all. Let's be safe out there. The establishment have used this now as a dress rehearsal because it was supposed to be their final hour. It was supposed to be their great show. It was, that was it. They had taken over New World Order, global currency, one religion, one philosophy, one rule of law, 1111111. Didn't work. So now they're already talking about, did you know that they found the bubonic plague in China? They're already putting that, you know, scenario forward. Now, I have many friends who are doctors. I work with the medical community. They all study energy work with me, and I learn a lot from them. Bubonic plague apparently has been, it never went away. It's been on all four continents, always. It's not something new. And yet, of course, we didn't crash the economy for that. But they're floating this idea that, well, COVID is going to morph into something else, or, okay, they didn't buy COVID. Now we'll go ahead and do bubonic plague. And still, people are not waking up. They're waking up in spurts here or there. And then, you know, sometimes it boggles the mind, and I never run out of words, but occasionally I run out of words these days because it just boggles the mind that people are not thinking beyond this. We're going into a cashless society. People are getting prepared to go to Davos in Switzerland and talk about a digital reset, not the one that we want, the one that they want. And you're already beginning to see signs up in store saying cash not accepted because, oh, money's dirty. Never mind that you've already touched everything in the store and the cashiers are touching everything all the time. Even, you know, they're behind these big plastic curtains, but everyone's touched everything, but money's dirty. You've got to use your plastic card. I'm just urging people, if not everyone, because clearly a great many of you have absolutely no interest in this planet's evolution or your own personal soul growth. And clearly for a great many people, the words soul sovereignty mean nothing. You have already given up any notion of free will. But I'm asking anybody who's on the fence or anybody who has this little feeling in their gut, gosh, do you think there's more to it than what they're saying? Do you think there's something underneath this? Because clearly people aren't dying in droves like pandemics, you know, should present that kind of death count. Anybody who thinks perhaps something is not quite right, this would be a good time to question it, to talk to your friends about it in a calm and rational manner. And perhaps we can spread a little awareness that humanity is facing one of the greatest threats in this cyclical era. One of the greatest threats to our individual and national and global freedoms. And perhaps you've been played. Hashtag you've been played. Perhaps.com.
Well, it's easier to fool somebody than to prove to them that they've been taken.
Clearly.
You know? don't forget who you're talking to. You're talking to Cosmic Reality Radio listeners. And
yes.
they woke up and they said, oh my God, there's something wrong here. And asked for guidance and got it. And they ended up here to hear people who were saying, hey, there's something wrong here. Only we delve into it more than just a feeling. Right. One of the things that you might want to try if you just want to make a point out there is say to your friends, you know, do any of you know anybody that died of COVID? Okay, now, I haven't done this very often, but it was, well, yes, I do. Or more likely, well, my mother's friend did.
Right. You know?
So it's like if you personally haven't had, you know, a COVID situation that you can say, yes, my best friend or my family or, you know, well, then it's not as bad as they're telling you it is. And on top of that, they've lied about who's got. Somebody said that, I think it was their niece had died in an automobile accident and it was listed as, you know, the cause of death, COVID.
Nancy, that's happening all over the place.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
The vast, it's the amount of, the number of older people, I hate to say it, people our age and on, right? The amount of older people that are dying is disproportionate. It's like 42% of the people that are dying of supposedly of COVID, which is actually an exacerbation of existing symptoms. 42% of them who are dying are in care homes, in older homes, memory care homes, old age people homes. That's an English term. Senior citizens, far more polite, senior citizens homes. And yet they represent a much smaller percentage of the population. And, you know, we've already been reading about how in New York, you're not supposed to readmit people into senior citizens homes if they're ill. But apparently Cuomo says, no, that's fine. You know, they can be readmitted. And people are just dying, and that's where they're dying. That's where the death rate is highest. So, you know, yes, I understand that the people who watch this show are woke, but they're going to
Please don't call them woke. I kept saying to myself, what is this word, woke? Oh, the woke crowd. They're all the crazies. All the woke people are the crazies. We're not woke. We're aware. You know, aware. I mean, that woke word is just like...
overused.
Fox started talking about woke. The woke crowd.
They did?
Oh, yeah.
I don't watch mainstream, so I really wouldn't know. Okay, well, what I mean is people who are awake.
Mainstream.
Yeah, Fox isn't really mainstream at all.
I would dispute that. It's a mainstream channel. It just happens to have a right-wing bias. But it is mainstream news.
No, it's not even right. No, it's conspiracy stuff. If somebody gets banned from, you're not watching it. I agree with you. That was my interpretation of Fox. But recently, you know, it's like they drank the Kool-Aid, the Q Kool-Aid. Okay. Hannity wears a Q, pin on his lapel. You know, but there, if somebody gets banned from YouTube, they're going to be on Fox the next night.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
They're different. Okay. That's why we watch them, because they're doing things that you wouldn't have expected from any mainstream media. And yet they're doing it and getting away with it.
All right.
As a matter of fact.
I'm not in the know then with Fox and woke. I mean awakened people.
Aware people.
If you don't watch it, you don't know it.
I haven't watched it. I haven't watched any of that stuff for quite a while now. I do watch snippets because I have to with you know, on YouTube, people send me stuff and go, what do you think of this? What do you think of this? But I certainly don't have any desire to sit and put it on all day long as people do.
Well, you might want to just take a look at Tucker Carlson, who's on at 8:00 Eastern time. He is really like, he's very objective, sort of, but he's objective, yeah. And looks at the facts and says, those people over there, those woke, they're crazy people, I'm telling you, look at this, you know. But Laura Ingraham is one who is like, you know, oh, come on, can't you see this, don't you understand, you know, these people are insane. she brings on, I mean, I have seen two black people go at each other like you wouldn't believe. They have screaming and hollering on between guests on Fox that is just like ridiculous. It's a totally different station. If you haven't seen Fox recently, you know, take a look at it. Hannity is the far right. Okay.
I just read his Ship of Fools.
Oh, did you? Did you?
Yeah.
Uh, He's a character in and of himself. I mean, he has some amazing things that he presents, but his personality is a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, I'll pour myself a bourbon on the rocks, and I will go and watch some Fox News I should.
Yeah. I think you'll find it hilarious sometimes. I mean, sometimes I mean, they bring me to tears. they bring on people like, okay, the father of one of these kids that got killed in the Seattle, whatever it was, was on. And, I mean, the people on the show were choking up, you know. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I'm hearing on Fox that I've never heard before, and believe me, I 8 hours a day, I was listening to news for a decade. And then I gave it up, and I've only started going back to Fox now because it's so different. But they bring on people who are not being interviewed by the rest of the media. And so you're getting a much grander perspective. I mean, they bring on one black person after another saying, this BM, whatever it is, Black Matter, Lives Matter, that is not us. And they're the ones that came out first. They were the first ones to start vocalizing the concept that this is an anarchist, far-left Marxist, and this is not us.
Damn right.
Yeah.
It's the most lily-white organization I've come across.
It's Marxist. It's
Marxist, but it's...
They admitted it.
What an insult to any community to assume that they can't thrive without the intervention of the people who assume are the oppressors. You know, that just... I understand that the money is going to the Democratic Party. It's going to far-left issues. Probably a lot of it is going into Biden. Anybody who's contributed to Black Lives Matter, it has nothing to do with black lives. They don't care about anybody's lives. I get that. But you see how easy it was to sell? This is what I mean about people being so emotionally triggered and mind controlled at the same time. You know, going down here in Portland, setting statues on fire, and they feel that they are rebelling against the man. But every single word that's coming out of their mouths, the man put it in there. Yeah? I'm not black. I'm Armenian, race ancestry. I would be so insulted, I think, if anyone went out there in Turkey today with Armenian Lives Matter, I would be so insulted that they would think that I couldn't thrive or move forward, or I would need the intervention of the ex-Ottoman Empire, the Young Turk Junta, or whoever, the Erdogan, whoever's ruling Turkey right now, that I would need their intervention, and I would need them to make some sort of reconciliation and retribution before I could thrive. Yeah, the whole thing is just ridiculous. How easily people buy into this stuff.
I've been considering, you know, just the statements that you've just made. And, you know, when I started out, if you wanted to find out, I was a researcher because of the Kennedy assassination. So where would I have? I'd have to go to a library and try to read other newspapers from other cities or magazines. I mean, the books were coming out, but, you know, slowly. And so in that time frame, when you found information in a magazine or a newspaper, you could pretty much figure it was true. Okay, there was a truth element to what you would find. But now you can find anything in a matter of a few strokes of the keyboard, and you have no concept if it's true or not. None.
Well, there's people out there who are trolling all the time. The minute somebody says something, someone with an English major degree who hasn't had a job yet is already been paid for the price of an internship or for money to go ahead and contradict it before they've even finished reading the article. You know, and it's the other thing is there's a lot of breaking news these days, isn't there? And it's very difficult to confirm breaking news.
Exactly. You know? And they're giving us, the mainstream media keeps, I mean, if you go from one station to another, you're going to hear them all trending on the same story, and they're giving them the same perspective. So let's just sit back, like you were talking about earlier, get out of the picture and above it and take a look at the game board. All right. How many of these people are really on the streets compared to how many millions of people do we have? 300 million people? How many people are on the streets? Not many. Not many.
But all they're doing
is focusing on them. Especially like in the beginning. You would have, they're doing all this, marching and but they kept focusing on the same, half a block of people. They never panned out. They never show you. What it really looks like. And so you keep thinking, they keep telling you there's all these people, but you're seeing them, but you're not realizing that, well, I'm only seeing this one little group here. We don't even know how extensive this movement is, except for the claim of how much money they've made.
Sorry, did I cut you off? Go ahead. Yeah.
No, it's just a matter of, If you watch the money, you can see that they've made millions and millions of dollars. And of course, you also have the response of the businesses, and even Fox is going like, what is the matter with these businesses that they're afraid of people in the streets, so that they're gonna do all this firing people and changing names and not all this stuff. Well, it's because those are the very people that are in jeopardy. The people that are owning those big companies, they want to point to the president and say, "Oh, you keep giving money to these big companies." Yes, he does, because those big companies are paying millions of people underneath them. You got to keep them running. But the people that are running those businesses, are the ones that now are, the black, not because they're afraid of them, but because they need to tear down the society in order to survive as human beings. Screw the business at this point. You know what I'm saying? And so even that reaction, if you just stand back and look at it, you go, you bastards, you're really trying to feed into this. You're trying to fuel the fire. I'm betting on the fact that there are very few of these idiots out there. There's an awful lot of people like you and me who don't have a voice over radio, who are sitting there. Now, you and I will say something, but there's an awful lot of people that aren't going to open their mouths because everybody else around them is scared. But they're scared, but they're not. If you get them out of the fear and say, look, this is what's happening. And I think that's why we have the first opening round of the final battle is over pedophilia. Because if you're a regular human being, you might not give a damn about what Durham is going to show about the Russian collusion, and you couldn't give a crap less because you don't understand it,
right.
They're all crazy people anyway. But if you tell and prove that, political figures, entertainment figures, industrial figures, every high-level group of people, in every aspect of our society has been one way or another implicated in this child trafficking situation. And you go, oh my God, is there that many people out there? Well, there's probably not that many that are absolutely, sick, evil beings. But there's an awful lot of them that, to get to the next level, will pretend they are, they get blackmailed, or they go into it, they're blindsided and they're blackmailed. And so everybody's got to protect this thing because you're going to be found out even though you're not that evil. Again, I'm going back to the concept that I don't think as many people are this evil, even though it's a big thing. But I think that when you do get to that point, it's much easier to prove that this child what's the number? I mean, it's 80,000 kids, or is it 800,000 kids disappearing in the U.S. every year? Thousands and thousands of kids disappearing. And it's much easier to be able to prove that this child was taken and, you know, done these terrible things to by people that you trusted. It's an easier sell to break down their mental blockage, because it's a house of cards, what they got in their heads. And if you can just take that one card out, that's going to take everything else down. I think it will not be as painful as it could be. But that's what I'm betting on, is that, you know.
I think that that's what's Trump. I think that's Trump's trump card.
I do too.
I want to say one thing.
You can say two.
I only need one. Okay. I wanted to tell Ani, Fox gives you proof with everything they tell you. They have proof. Whereas the mainstream media, they don't have proof. They just expect you to believe them.
I'll have to investigate what proof means to Fox, because that's my job, is to investigate everything. So.
Oh, goody.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
Let us know. Yeah, I realize you're not going to have time to look for most of this, but, you know, yes, when you get time, take a look at it. And,
because, I mean, we stopped television service about 9 years ago. So, you know.
I think you get these shows online.
Oh, no, we have to tune in to mainstream media. I mean, we have to on internet to see what they're reporting against what's actually really happening. Because this is my entire life is, Ani, they said this. What does it really mean? So I'm always having to look at video clips of what this is and then having to comment on it. So it's not as if I'm detached from any of it. I'm far too attached, much more attached than I would like to. But we are an end-of-day scenario, so I don't mind. But the last time I literally sat and listened to a whole stream of... I can't do that anymore for various reasons. One, why? I don't want to, don't need to. I don't get triggered by it anymore. But it's just damn annoying to hear bullshit being spoken day in, day out. And then having people on the radio shows comment on the bullshit that was just spilled out. And then reviewing. You know, the debate has gone on television anymore. People go, well, you've got to listen to it. This person gives their opinion. That other person gives their opinion. They're not giving opinions in debate. They're not debating for the betterment of society anymore. It's one person pushing their agenda, another person pushing back with their agenda. That's not debate. So I can't watch it anymore. It's pathetic. And perfectly educated, articulate people are mistaking that for debate. The world just has gone balmy, completely nuts. So that's why we stepped away from it. But, you know, I've got to check in on all those thousands of video clips that people so kindly send me that keeps me up till 3 or 4 a.m. every night so I can review them and comment on them. So, okay, I'm making a note, Nancy, that woke is not the word. Woke has a different meaning now. Okay, thank you. Note taken.
Do you agree, about the word woke? Dolly?
Yes, I was having trouble with my fingers. Well, I mean, they aren't working right.
Dolly, I never know what's going to come out of your mouth next. It's always a surprise. It's charming. It's absolutely charming. Wow. Okay, so what I was going to... I just want to go back to the beginning of my diatribe rant, whatever it was that I was going, because as usual, I'm very, very caffeinated. I know that the people who watch this show are awakened or awakening. They're very aware. They're interested in awareness. But they're also going to share this show with their friends who are not, or, you know, who are at various levels of, I know something's wrong, but is it really wrong? So when I address my comments, I don't necessarily address them to people I know are already awakened, because I know that people are going to hear this who are really on the fence or 100 yards away from the fence, walking towards the fence. I just wanted to clarify that.
What were you
going
to say?
And now I did.
What were you going to say, Dolly, about woke?
Oh, Woke has become one of those buzzwords that can get started and they go crazy with it. Like, you know. Well, no, I don't know. You're telling me, damn it. Or any one of those buzzwords things. And so I don't like hearing wake, awakened, woke anymore because it's overused. It's they've killed it. The real meaning of what we meant in the beginning. Now I like to hear, I prefer to hear, aware, yes. I prefer to hear aware because we have come far enough in our searches, our investigations, our being, info being shared with us by people we can trust. And that makes us aware. We're not waking up anymore. We're becoming aware of what's there. That's my opinion.
And I agree, because I think that it was, I think we're in a thought warfare. And we kept saying to people, you gotta, you know, wake up, wake up, wake up. And so the other side said, oh, well, too many people are waking up. Let's make it something woke. We'll say woke. We'll make that. And then the people make the, you know, these woke people are all crazy. And so you don't want to wake up because you might be crazy like the woke people. It's psychological warfare is what it is.
Okay, well, of course, it's all to do with the mind warfare, but I'm going to use a new word now. I'm done with all of it. We're not woke, we're not awakened, we're not aware. We're Wookiees.
Wookiees?
Wookiees. Never mind.
I'll never remember Wookiees.
Okay, go back
to trouble remembering aware.
Just remember a werewolf, aware, and you'll remember.
I think that we're the owls.
The Grand Moloch.
Well, I wrote a story once, and I really got into, you know, the essence of an animal. And the owl and the hawk are like sisters. And the owl, at night, records everything. And during the day, Hawk records everything. But both of them know what the other has recorded. So they're like perfect recorders of all 24 hours. You know, it's a full plate of what they see. And then they don't... When you're dealing with like an owl, it's more of... I've seen so much, I can tell you the details, the answers. But I can't tell you the overall picture, because to do that, I would have to be both owl and hawk in the same beingness. So it's sort of like you go through life and you see the one side of daylight, and then you see what happens at night. And we are uniquely positioned to really see the whole scenario. But until you begin to look at both sides, understanding that there are both sides, because they keep wanting to divide us, and you have to look at the people that are on the other side. Who are these people? You know, we talked about this on another show. To me, they're children, because they are ignorant. They have not been educated. They have no concepts of what they're trying to destroy. It's obvious by what they're trying to destroy. Oh, I'm against slavery, so I'm going to tear down the abolitionist, you know, statues. You know, everything, the symbols that they're taking down are the symbols of what they claim they want to see. So it, you know, they're not educated. They're ignorant. And what's ignorant? Ignorant is in the lack of knowledge. And so that comes because, and I'm on a rant rave about this, because civics is no longer required and mandatory since they put in this new educational system of testing. I forget what they call it.
Amen.
You know, and if you don't have the basic understanding of civics, you know, what is this country? What's its history? We were talking earlier, Dolly and I were, because we were like, are they even teaching American history? And she said that she thought Annette, her daughter, had taken it. And she yells at Annette, did you take American history? And Annette said, I took history. Now, probably there was American history sort of
and
in it.
Some kind, and civic something. And she now, did, what was your civic class? World Civ. World Civics.
Yeah.
And history.
So they're not even getting the basics. You know, I used to teach math. When I got out of college, the math teacher had had a problem, and the principal asked me if I could teach general mathematics and would I substitute. So that's how I ended up there. But they gave me this book of mathematics, and it was like new math. And I'm going like, I have no clue as to what this thing's saying. You know, and I'm somebody that, you know, could do calculus in my head. Algebra, no problem. Geometry, love it, you know. But I couldn't understand new math, and they wanted me to teach it. So I would go into my classes, and I'd say, and I'd get the book out, and I'd say, all right, let's see if we can understand what they're trying to tell us here. And I would read what they were saying. And then I would say, okay, that's what they're saying. I've just taught you, or I presented to you, new math. Now I'm going to tell you what math's about. And then I would give them what I had learned in school. Because I didn't understand this new math. I couldn't help them out, you know.
That's the problem with the kids at that stage. Their teachers didn't even know how what the new math was, and they're trying to teach it.
One of the things I found out that was interesting was that, so I had the new math, I had traditional math, and I still wasn't getting, I had like, let's see, was it four classes of math, and I still had like five kids that no matter what I tried to tell them, it was like I'd get this blank stare. And they're not stupid kids. They just couldn't get the mathematics thing. So I brought them after school, the five from the different classes, and I sat them down and I said, let's just talk. And so I just let them talk to each other doing their thing, and I'm listening to them. And finally I saw the pattern, and I went, oh, okay, let me do this now. And from that moment on, they could understand math because I had taken the time to figure out how their brains were working. Now, a lot of teachers couldn't have done that, but, you know, I could, and I did. And so from then on, I was teaching three versions of math. And my math, these math classes were general math. They were the dummies, you know, the people that weren't in the college curricula thing. These were, you know. And so I not only did I teach them three different ways of learning math, but I did it so fast that by January, we were already done with that stupid new math book. And then I told them, okay, so now we need to go push math further. And they had to teach the class mathematics that they were already using. So one guy comes in with a blueprints. He wants to discuss, you know, he knew the math behind blueprints. And he was, you know, taught the class. Another one taught us astronomy. I mean, it was like some of the things that they were bringing in to teach the class were just astounding. So then I find myself in the principal's office. you know, and it's like, how are you must be cheating. I said, how can I be cheating? Well, you've got all these children that have always been C and D kids, and now they're B's and you know, C and B's, and said, some of them are A's. How can this be? You must be cheating. I said, it's mathematics. How the hell do you cheat? I said, you test them. You see if they know it. Oh, God, he was so mad at me. Anyway.
So you had to do detention, huh?
No. Actually, he ended up firing me.
Oh yes, nothing deserves to be fired more than success.
And well, that was part of it. But then on top of that, he had this thing against me anyway. And as soon as the math guy came back, he took over the classes, and I went into a day by day substitute thing. And the poor man had a heart attack.
The
math teacher, the math teacher, because he had nothing to teach. The kids knew more than he did.
Oh, my gosh.
So he has a heart attack, and so I want my classes back, and that bastard wouldn't give them to me. And so I'm doing a day-by-day substitute because I need the job, and somebody in the, oh, I know, it was one of my students came up to me and said, the Catholic Church was having these meetings about drug usage, and I didn't have any concept that some of my students might be into drugs. I mean, I was the 60s generation. I was used to it in the colleges, but never got in my head that, at home it could be there, too. And he wanted to know if I would go to this thing, and I said, and I didn't want to go, but I felt if I was going to be a teacher, then maybe this is part of it. Who knows? So I go. And so then I get a reputation of being somebody that knows things about drugs, which might not be a good thing for a teacher. But the school board, and they were trying, because apparently this drug problem was really prevalent in the schools. And so they were trying to find out, what to do about it. So they got myself and a friend of mine, same age, doing the same thing, substitute teaching, to come and talk to them about drugs because they had no background whatsoever. And so we did that. And the next thing I know, I'm back in the, she ended up too, but he didn't bring us in together. It was separate in the principal's office. And he was drooling. He was so angry with me. I mean, I thought he was going to crawl over his friggin' desk to get to me, And why am I telling people about drugs? And it's like, dude, I was asked to go there, and he was totally reminded me of my father. He even had the veins popping out of his neck. So he fired me. And that day when I got home, the superintendent of schools called me, who happened to be a friend of my father. So, Nancy, why did whatever his name was, why did he fire you? And I said, I have no idea, but it was about drugs. And I told him the story. Well, it turned out that 4 years later, his son overdosed and killed himself. The kid was on heroin.
Oh.
And what it was that the principal was afraid that if everybody understood drugs, then they'd know his son was a junkie.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, heavens.
Oh,
heavens. What foolish, frail people we humans are sometimes.
Yeah, but that's how come I'm not a teacher today. Because he actually, I think I was interviewed about 4 or 5 times when I'm talking to this guy, and he says, I shouldn't tell you this. He said, but your principal is black. He every time you apply, we go back to him, and he says awful things about you.
He said,
he said, you'll never get a job. So I said, okay. Sure. So then I left and came to Miami, and it's another life.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'd probably be in jail because one day I almost threw a kid out the window. He pissed me off.
That's so funny, Dolly. Why are you laughing?
No, it's serious.
See her doing it.
We were in, study hall. They had a study hall thing, right? And I'm the teacher in the study hall. And this kid was one of my kids. He was brilliant, but he was so screwed up. And he was in my math class. And so I knew him. And he started up. I don't even remember what he did, but I just, who knows? Maybe I was having my period. I don't know. But I just flipped out. And thank God my brother was in the same study room. Because I picked this kid up by his collar, right in his belt, and took him right out of his chair, and I was about to throw him through that window, I swear to God, when my brother yelled at me, Nancy, don't do it, don't do it. And he kind of like was a sound, oh, okay, all right, and I stuck him back in his chair. But
wow. What was it he did that pissed you off?
I have no idea. I have no idea. I just remember making that. Well, you know, when I was younger, I would snap into anger that you did not want to encounter.
Is it a chemical imbalance?
No, I was just one pissed off bitch.
Oh, okay.
I grew up in a neighborhood where everybody else my age were boys.
Uh-huh.
You know, and so I had to beat them all up before they would listen to me. So
gotcha.
I was a real tomboy type of thing. But, no, I had, and that snappy kind of anger thing actually probably is genetic, because I saw every one of my parents definitely would go there. Yeah, da, 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 da. I'm going to kill you.
Nancy, has it improved over the years?
Oh, yeah. You can't get me angry.
Oh, okay. But just on the off chance that, you know,
that you might piss me off
one day. If I ever come to Florida one way on my way to the UK and stop in to visit you, I would just like to know if you have overcome this problem.
Is she in danger?
No. I learned I didn't have to. Plus, I'm too old to fight now. You know, it's like, no, doctor. I said to somebody, I had to, well, my next door neighbor, he's very funny. He calls me up and he says, can I come into your yard to take some pictures? And I said, yeah, all right. And so I meet him at the fence, and he wants to take pictures of, like, I've got a Model T Ford truck that's sitting in the backyard. And that steel is so good that it's got a rusty coat to it, but it's absolutely still really perfect steel, right? Because somebody's got a Facebook group taking pictures of urban decay type things, you know, abandoned things. Mm-hmm. And I have a few things in the yard. But by the time I got back to the house, I was really tired. And I said to my friend Cindy, I said, you know, I said, at this point in the game, if I had to run for my life, I'd sit down and say, kill me.
Yeah. Hey, before you get off on another tangent, we need to let Ani finish her thought.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember what it was. Dolly, do you remember what my thought was?
No.
Okay.
Was it about when we were talking about the TV stuff?
I think I probably finished that thought pattern. You know, I mean, all I can say about televisions really is for people who have them on all the time, turn them off, because there is such a thing as subliminal programming. That's why people pay millions of dollars to advertise on television, quite apart from the fact that any voiceover actor, I'm married to an actor, so any voiceover actor will tell you that anything to do with perceptual engineering of television, whether it's a commercial, an advertisement, whatever, and there are three basic emotions that they want to instill in the public, and this applies to the news, not just to selling products, and those would be fear, rage, oh God, what's the other one? Fear, rage, anger. You know, it's all about getting you charged up so that you bypass your critical thinking and sane thinking abilities. And you mustn't think that that's just on commercials to get you to buy stuff. It's to do with how they present the news, how they present any given story. And it's relentless. It's a persistent, absolutely persistent, instilling an attitude or an idea or a habit in you by persistent instruction over and over and over again until you don't even know, because you're in the kitchen, you're chopping your vegetables, getting your omelette ready for dinner or whatever, and you've been hearing the same thing over and over again, no matter where you flip. That is mind control. That is brainwashing. And that is why people like me tell you over and over and over again, if you don't have a practice of meditation and prayerful contemplation, you will not own the contents of your mind, and the energy in your light body anatomy will be triggered every 5 seconds by things that other people put in it, and you will never see straight. You will never catch a break. So that's, if I was going to complete the thought process, that's what it would be, you know. So thank you, Dolly, for bringing me back to ground zero on that.
Well, okay.
You're the guest, and I wanted you to be able to talk.
Oh, I have no problem talking, but thank you.
Especially when she's been caffeined out.
I am caffeinated, people. And by the way, I've been drinking Black Rifle Coffee from the Black Rifle Coffee Company. Best coffee on the planet. Nancy, I'm going to send you some.
Oh, do. I'll take it. I love the last batch you sent me. But, you know, I have this thing because, okay, so I do watch Fox News because there's nothing else on. And so I do have it on the background for quite a while. A lot of times, not even the sound is on. I just keep looking once in a while to see the guest. You know, who do they got?
Me too. Yeah.
Anyway, so, but when I am kind of like needing just a, I'm going to just sit down here, I end up seeing commercials. And if it's true that they're trying to instill, you know, fear, anger, and whatever it was in us, I have to wonder what it has to do with toenails. Because you see, recently there has been a number of different commercials regarding toenails. You know, they're all the same thing. Some kind of a liquid you put on your toenails to keep it from looking ugly because it's got a fungus or something, right? But three different companies with the same kind of a story. And I don't feel anger. I don't feel fear. I just feel like, I feel stupid. I feel like, am I missing something? Should I be concerned about my toenails?
Fear, anger, need, that you need a product. So they're going to put
need,
in your head.
Need.
They're going to put, thank you. They're going to put in your head the idea that somehow you smell, so you need deodorant, or, oh, your feet, and who the heck looks at your feet, but your feet need this thing. It's another distraction, another, oh my God, I'm less than. My feet, my toenails. Oh, how could I possibly go out in public with these toenails? Well, it's probably the very last thing in on your mind.
Well, actually, you see, I did have those kind of toenails. And I guess that's why I didn't feel a need of fear or anything else. I just felt like I must be missing something.
Can we just accept that the hosts on this show perhaps don't buy into the perceptual engineering, but most other people will?
But you don't understand. The reason I didn't have it is because I started wearing Shungite rubber in my feet, on my shoes.
Ah, well, there you go.
I mean, that's the only difference in both feet. They add one toe, and it's all the same toe on the, I don't know why it would be the same toe, you know, position-wise, would have this, like, you know, you know what I'm talking about. And, because probably you all got it, you better get rid of it, but go get yourself some Shungite rubber and put it in your shoes. You don't have to be putting this chemical that could probably make you brain dead or something. Okay.
I can say more about feet when we come back.
Okay. All right. Well,
I can't wait.
That'll get the audience back. Okay. So
I can't wait.
They're sexy. It's to do with feet and sex.
Nancy,
call the break. We need a break. This is getting hot and steamy.
Okay. I'm gonna play the Dance of Illusions. Here it goes.
Thank you. Leave all those lies behind you. It's only a dream.
Just another scene.
Illusions, dance of the illusions.
Welcome back to the Say What Show. It's July 11th, 2020. My name is Nancy Hopkins. With me is Dolly Howard and Ani Avedisian, the Suburban Shaman. And I'm assuming you're back, and Dolly was going to tell us more about feet.
Go, Dolly, yeah. Go.
I was reading the book today, recording it, and it got to a part the book's name, did I tell you? It's When God Had a Wife. And we got to the part where Mary Magdalene and how she was considered a harlot for so many years, but now she's being considered a good woman, not ever a harlot. And so we got to the part where the lady, I think it was Mary, was washing Jesus' feet, and she dried them with her hair. Well, hair is back then was not supposed to be down. Men were not supposed to see the hair in public on women being down. It had to be put up on your head. So she was in this room where there's a bunch of people and Jesus, and she was honoring Jesus by washing his feet because that was a thing that you do. And the book pointed out she took her hair down out of the whatever she had it up in and dried Jesus' feet in front of everybody. And it was this big, wow! And so I'm thinking, well, okay, what's wrong with that? And then it goes into feet were considered sexy. So, and Mary sat at Jesus' feet one time. So they're saying, oh, there's some kind of sex connected with Mary sitting at Jesus' feet. Or you take off your socks before you go to bed and there's something sexy about the feet. And I think, what the hell? I could not tie feet and sex together in any way, shape, or form. So that's my story on sexy feet.
Wow. Oh, great, Shaman. You must have, I have to tell you before we go on. I had the washing machine guy at my house.
Whoa,
and I
go.
Asked him, have you ever found the socks that go missing? And he said, yes, we find them in the washing machine, but more often we find them in the dryer. Just as Maytag Guru said that
yes.
You read. So
the
there you
Maytag
go.
Maytag Guru is wise.
Yes. So I wanted you to know that. But,
thank you.
But I also... Yes, what is there's got to be some intense symbolism in feet that the shaman would know. I don't think Maytag cool. would.
No, I don't think Maytag's particularly interested. It's in Dolly's sharing was interesting. I know that feet washing was actually a very regular thing to do when someone came into your house in those days.
Yes.
They would have walked for miles and cut their feet on brambles and they would be dusty and whatever. So you would, you know, it was a good host that washed the feet. But I get that whole hair symbolism thing. I can't really equate feet with sex because if you give me a foot rub, I will fall asleep and there will be no sex. But in the feet, the chakras that are in the feet are the baser emotions that we have as human beings. This has nothing really to do with sex, but in the soles of the feet, those chakras deal with a great deal of our residual malice. And my old Indian guru, Indian as in Mumbai, actually it was Kerala from actual India, who I studied with, said to me that murder, the desire to murder a person, the basest desire that there is, it resides in the chakras of the feet. So I think everyone should get a foot rub as often as they can, and they're not going to have any desire to murder anyone. You know, in energy work, below the waist, all the chakras of the thighs, the knees, they carry all the baser human emotions, inflexibility, stubbornness, rage, excessive lust, which is in the thighs, not in the feet. And down at the feet, you've got malice and murder. So keep your feet washed and massaged as often as possible, and the murder rate will definitely go down.
And give everybody you know shungite rubber to put in their soles with shoes.
Nancy, why don't you do an actual, you know, a commercial, an advertisement for that?
Yeah.
You know, your, I mean, like, make a video.
Keep your husband from murdering you. Sneak these into his shoes.
Yeah, something really... Come on, you and Derek, you can come up with something amazing together.
The kids driving you nuts? Hey, put some of this magic shungite in their shoes. It's shungite rubber.
Yeah.
I'm joking, but no, if you do that, because of the reflexology concepts of so much, you can mm-hmm. do so much energy healing through the soles. And what
Come
better
on,
way
do,
to do
put that information out in a way with a proper commercial. Oh, in fact, if I can just say, my partner who is an actor came in and said to me, "You got it wrong again." The three things that we are trained to convey in voiceovers and on television is fear, rage, desire. Fear, rage, desire. So just an interesting point. The next time you guys, anybody out there watches television commercials, which I doubt, you probably mute them. But fear, rage, desire. Interesting.
Well,
I fast forward through them.
In my book, Cosmic Reality, there's a picture of this woman who the television was on behind her when a picture was taken. And it was only to test the lighting. They weren't, you know, so she didn't pay any attention to it when she first took it except to look at the lighting. But then when she was deleting pictures, she looked at this and she really looked at it. And on the television screen behind her said, "Kill." And I think it was reversed. So, and it was just that the snapshot froze the subliminal signaling coming through the station, and it was the word "kill."
Gosh.
Interesting. Yeah. No, that all that subliminal stuff, by the way, that's all real.
Yep.
That's been around since.
But they don't do it.
Oh no! Well, they don't. No, the establishment behind the establishment does that.
No. We would never do anything like that.
No. Course not.
Well,
we know
that's real because of that movie that came out with the sunglasses.
Oh, yeah.
They live.
I like that movie.
I do too.
Yeah. Science fiction is all, it's all pretty much coming true now, isn't it, really? Fascinating.
Yeah. Listen over
and
there.
If you pay attention, the Star Trek things are real too.
Yes. Well, they did say that Gene Roddenberry went and, consulted a psychic medium on a regular basis to see what was out there and, potential futures and all of that.
Mm.
And I think that's been fact-checked by an actual fact-checker, not...
an anonymous independent.
Yeah. What we call...
Yeah.
Well, we say fact-check the fact-checkers. Most of them are feckers. That's what we say. That's what I say.
Yeah, my sister's... go ahead.
Go ahead. The Irish version of the other F word.
Well, we know that's fornication under command of the king.
Yes, fornication under command of the king.
I learned that from a shaman.
Yeah, probably. Who knows?
A suburban shaman.
Well, drinks martinis.
He drinks strong martinis, too.
They are needed more than ever these days. I think we're probably going to lose the suburban shaman image soon. We're talking about reworking all that. So, I don't know, watch this space. We'll see how that all goes. I was wondering...
Go ahead.
If you would be interested in having Matthew's message...
Yes, that's what I was trying to ask you. Do you have a message from Matthew? Because I know that I know what you did over the 4th, so I wondered if there was... you're going to tell us...
I know what you did last summer.
Yeah, I really, I got the creeps when she said that.
I know what you did on July the 4th. I murdered hot dogs and hamburgers. I did terrible things.
She was
things.
The person who climbed... Mount Rushmore on top of Washington's head and stood there with arms outstretched.
Right,
that was me.
Right. That was Annie.
That was me. I'm that agile. So, for those who don't know, Matthew Ward lived on this plane until he was 17 years old. And he would be about my age if he was still alive. I think I'm 60, who knows? And he was a very enlightened soul. He died when he was 17 in a car accident in Panama to channel information about life, the universe, and everything to his mother, Suzanne Ward, who lives in Washington State and writes all of the Matthew books. And of course, at the time that he died, she was not aware of the greater, you know, she wasn't aware of the greater metaphysical world. All she knew is that she had lost her son. And once the grieving was at a functional space, she contacted a medium who started to introduce her to the concept of soul contracts, pre-birth agreements. And she slowly made peace with it, because losing a child, it's not really something you plan for. It's a very deep, deep grief. And Matthew channels his messages to Suzanne. And I'm going to and they come out once a month. And you can go to matthewbooks.com and sign up for them if you're interested. What I like about Matthew is that he lets the spirit inhabit the human. He doesn't just talk about abstract metaphysical concepts, and he doesn't just concentrate on what's going on in the world. He will talk about what is happening in today's world and apply it to a greater spiritual context. And I'm going to read it for you now. Before I do, I'm just going to say one more thing. This is channeled information. No one's asking you to believe it or not believe it. And when Matthew and people like Matthew channel this information, they are not pushing an agenda on us. They are simply, and especially in Matthew's case, because he's so far evolved now, he doesn't live in heaven anymore. He's a light being who travels the entire universe. All he's doing is conveying heaven's perspective of what is going on behind the scenes on earth and giving us much needed spiritual encouragement. So he's not in, when he says something happened a certain way, he's not saying this is the way it happened because this is the way God wanted it to happen, or this is the way it happened. Because there's plenty of times I've looked at these messages and other channeled information and said, say what? What are you guys talking about? So open mind, open heart. July the 2nd, 2020. This message is about protests against racism, coronavirus, principles in general, QAnon, the rescue of children, human sacrifices, emotions, and love. With loving greetings from all souls at this station, this is Matthew. Especially when you are inundated with media reports of turmoil around the world, it is important for your health in mind, body, and spirit to frequently breathe deeply, then exhale slowly to release stress so it doesn't accumulate and cause imbalance. Please, dear family, take a moment now and do that for yourselves. Thank you. Now then, two global situations are keeping Earth's energy field of potential in fervent activity. Let us speak first about the protests against racism and excessive police force that started in the United States and quickly erupted in many other countries. Essential change doesn't start with leaders, but with demands of the people. You may have seen films of George Floyd's death and noticed unusual circumstances. The policeman who had his knee on Mr. Floyd's neck looked vacant as he gazed at the person who was filming him. And the three policemen who were standing nearby appeared to have little interest in what was happening. The very second the incident started, those five souls and others in their respective pre-birth agreements amended their soul contracts so they could participate as they did. The policeman's apparent lack of emotions and lack of dread in Mr. Floyd was the effect of their subconscious processing as they acted in accordance with their newly agreed upon roles. They did so to thrust racism onto the global stage so dramatically that this pernicious aspect of humanity no longer can be brushed aside. Earth's civilization cannot advance in spiritual and conscious awareness until the unjustness of systemic bigotry ends and healing can come to the society. The other global situation in the continuing saga of the coronavirus. Now, keeping in mind that most national borders are closed to travelers, you may ask how that disease reached countries that had been free of it. It happened the same way it did in China's Hunan province. The virus was released by drones, or in the new countries, with crop dusting as well. Although the two areas differ greatly, both were prime targets for the Illuminati to unleash their virus. Along with dense air pollution, Hunan is saturated with 5G technology, whose emissions are damaging to bodies. Both conditions compromise immune systems and render the residents susceptible to contracting a contagious respiratory disease. People in the countries where COVID-19 was more recently introduced are equally vulnerable. They now have low immunity due to existing health issues caused by malnutrition and other substandard living conditions. The spike in numbers of cases and deaths in the United States was predictable. Masks prevent normal respiratory functioning, and that severely affects immunity. Stress also adversely affects immune systems, and a great deal of stress has been caused by stay at home, mass unemployment, economic hardships, childcare for people who must work, and the exhaustion of hospital personnel and first responders. The ones behind this pandemic want you to believe otherwise. So the finger pointing is at people who are not wearing masks or social distancing, and the business is opening too quickly. Another aspect of the rising numbers is that cases and deaths from numerous medical issues are falsely reported as due to COVID-19 or complications thereof. Contrary to what may appear that the Dark Ones are winning this round, they are not. Hooray! They are digging their graves deeper. In a manner of speaking, the truth about the laboratory-designed, patented coronavirus cannot be hidden from the public much longer. Removing from the internet the testimonies of individuals who know the truth isn't preventing the posting of other truthful information, and labeling it conspiracy theory is not going to work on the Dark One's behalf either. To the readers who asked also if Bill Gates and Dr. Anthony Fauci are among those responsible for the pandemic, yes, both are heavily involved. So is the CDC, whose guidelines are often mandated. Now, about Q and QAnon. According to Nirvana's Monitors of Earth, Q is a few individuals who have extensive personal knowledge of Deep State, the secret society we call Illuminati, the others refer to as the Cabal, the Establishment, One World Order, Shadow Government, and other designations. QAnon, a loosely allied group of individuals who research or have personal knowledge of information not readily available to the public, follow Q's enigmatic messages posted on an internet site and interpret those with varying degrees of accuracy. Because the intention of all these individuals is to expose the Dark Ones, information coming from Q or QAnon is ridiculed as conspiracy theory. Mainstream media are controlled. Information on the internet is a mixture of authentic and false, and social media is a hotbed of opinions along with facts. So be discerning about information from all sources. Ask within. The truth you are seeking resides at soul level. Here's a question from someone. To Matthew, I heard that your president, that would be Trump, ordered the military to destroy underground bases where they found many children in cages and released them. Please ask Matthew if this happened. Nirvana's Monitors, let me just confirm that Nirvana is the name the residents of our heaven give to heaven. Nirvana's monitors can't confirm that the rescue order came directly from President Trump, but it is true that military troops released hundreds of children held captive in the Illuminati's mammoth underground bases. They then destroyed the bases, and the children are receiving medical and psychological care. The most diabolical of all darkness on the planet is satanic worship. Along with kidnapping thousands of children around the world for rituals, worshippers impregnate women they imprison so their infants can be sacrificed. Eons past, the dark forces inculcated, and for those who don't know, inculcate means to instill an attitude, an idea, or habit by persistent instruction. So eons past, the dark forces inculcated into experienced souls the idea that human sacrifice somehow pleased or appeased the gods. And millennia ago, Earth civilizations did just that. In more recent centuries, the Illuminati have used those ungodly acts to create the energy of fear, which they require as fuel to survive. And they believe that consuming parts of sacrificed bodies gives them unlimited power. Another reader who wrote about this asked, "Is it better to stay out of everything and let people feel bright and happy, or is it better to let people know?" And this is Matthew's response to that. As shocking as the truth is, it must become widely known, so these unspeakable practices will be ended, and the dark ones involved held accountable for their crimes against humanity. The information is available on the internet, and we urge you to make others aware of it. Our reply to the following excerpt of an email always applies, but with emotions running high about what is going on in the world, it is especially relevant now. And this is Matthew's response. In day-to-day family life, we encounter never-ending emotional conflicts and turmoil that often takes away from the joy of life. Loss of emotional control inevitably leads to undesirable consequences. So why were we given emotions, when for the most part, reasoning is a far better survival tool? First, we say, Earth is universally known as an excellent schoolhouse, specifically because it offers the finest lessons in emotions. The souls from numerous civilizations choose to incarnate there so they can overcome low vibrational emotions and replace them with high. Dear ones, we know from our own lifetimes in worlds that are loosening third density shackles that it is exceedingly difficult to always feel positive and always feel confident. You come from civilizations where only joy, kindness, honesty, generosity, forgiveness, gratitude, and other emotions with high vibrations exist, and now you are here in the midst of Earth's emotional spectrum that includes impatience, anger, disappointment, intimidation, discouragement, hopelessness, pessimism, frustration, and fear. Dispelling those negative sensations by radiating the light of high emotions to inspire Earth's people to manifest the better world they want is why you chose to be here. Yes, indeed, reasoning is involved, but you don't have to eschew emotions to use good judgment, make wise decisions, and employ common sense. Furthermore, life without any emotions would be a dim, hollow existence. It would preclude the joy when a new family member is born, excitement about a successful undertaking, thrill at seeing nature's spectacular beauty, happiness about a friend's visit, sympathy for those who are mourning, empathy for those who are struggling, the pleasure of companion animals, appreciation for others' loyalty to you and gratitude for thoughtfulness and kindness. Now, why didn't we mention love? Because love is far more than an emotion. Love is what souls are made of. Beloved sisters and brothers, love is who you are. The high vibrations of the aforementioned sensations are expressions of the love you are radiating as the light that is the undergirding all efforts to co-create Earth's golden age. We honor you for your essential service in this monumental undertaking. With unconditional love, the most powerful force in this universe. We have been supporting you all along your journey. Love and peace to you. And that was Monday, not Monday, Matthew's message for July. He's always hopeful, even though he, you know, tells it like it is. So,
well, he mentioned impatience, and oddly enough, the Shungite message this week was to have patience. You know, so it just, mm-hmm. you know, it's the synchronicities of the messaging. Yeah. Thank you for that. Well, he agrees with me for most things, so I mean, it's, that's why I like.
So he must. Yeah. So he must be okay.
Must
then.
Be okay.
You must. You know, I receive when Matthew's message comes out. I know Suzanne Ward receives a lot of emails, and she deals with those very graciously. She's a very gracious lady. But I also receive a great many emails after Matthew's message comes out. Only because they know that I'm, you know, Suzanne Ward and I, we go back a long way and we're good friends. And I received quite a few emails talking about the George Floyd incident with this, saying, look, we get systemic racism. It's not just black on white. It's many different things. But if they wanted, if the universe wanted to show, you know, to make an example of someone, why did they choose a career criminal and drug addict? You know, and again, what I have to, it wouldn't have been a choice I made, because there are plenty of people who truly are innocent and relatively unblemished who could have been chosen to make an example. The fact is the universe didn't choose anything. These five souls, for whatever reason, the four police officers and Mr. Floyd himself, for whatever reason, apparently chose that moment to amend their soul contracts to bring light to police brutality.
Okay, Ani, are you familiar with the fact that there's a sizable amount of information indicating that Floyd was not killed?
I've read all of that as well. Yeah.
Do you think he died or not?
My understanding is that he is on the other side.
That's my understanding too,
because it doesn't make any
sense.
Yeah. So, you know? In fact, I mean, I don't know why I'm being so polite. Yes, he's on the other side. People have talked to him. I have touched him there. You know, he's there. So,
yeah,
he's there.
You know, it's just like people actually questioned me when I said no. He was a spirit that chose to give up his life for a greater purpose. I could feel this from the man.
Yeah.
You know, and those guys that were standing there, exactly how I saw them. I did a remote as soon as I didn't want to see any of it, but I had to at least, you know, find out what this is. And yeah, exactly like that. That those people were, it was almost like their souls weren't even in there.
It was right.
Like autonomous beings that were going through the motions. It was very peculiar.
Yeah. I was mesmerized by the entire 9-minute strip because they weren't there. I mean, which police officer is going to put his knee on someone's neck and stand there for minutes and be recorded? You know, they were empty. Yeah, they were automatons. So this completely makes sense to me as a paranormal person, as an energy worker, that this is what would have happened. I'm only sorry that rather than draw attention to systemic racism, whatever anyone's opinion on that is, I have my own, that it was hijacked immediately by Soros and that lot to push their agenda for this fragmented civil war that they're trying to create in America, which isn't going to be as simple as black and white or north and south. I equate it more to a sort of a guerrilla warfare of putting in so many pockets of people fighting each other for reasons they actually have no knowledge of why they're fighting each other. But I'm just so sorry that what is indeed a noble purpose was hijacked so quickly by the dark side.
I'm not so sure that that was unintended. Because if it had just been the racism, there's a tremendous number of black people that are saying, wait a minute, what you're saying is not true. Yes, there's problems with the police. Yes, there's problems that we don't have economic stability, but it's not because because too many of us are friends with black people and white people, and we're too many of us are friends now. You know, it's gone beyond that. You're hateful because you don't know these people, which is what the 60s was all about. So there's more of a better, the older black people say our lives are better because of where we've come from. So let's just keep going instead of, you know, tearing everything down and going back.
Right. I wonder if we're having two separate conversations. I completely agree with you that the racism that they're talking about doesn't actually exist.
Right.
Communities have to look within themselves to thrive.
Right. What happened was when they took it over, I mean, you got these people that are protesting because they think that there's a problem, because that's what they were taught in school recently.
Right.
And so you got the militia, the military that's been trained to do this, behind them throwing things at the cops that causes, a complete disaster. But my feeling, based on just watching what happened, is that a lot of that Antifa. Those people were rounded up and arrested. Okay, so because then there was a drop off, but then you get this new surge that's happening, and it's this new surge that I think we really have to confront, because if it hadn't have been for the horrendous visual of Floyd being executed that was seen, you wouldn't have had this emotional uproar in people because it was too in your face.
Yeah.
And now, because of it happening, the dark side is going to push their agenda of this atheism, of anarchism. You know, no more talking about God. No more talking about the flag. Taking down everything. To me, this is simply a war between essentially good and evil, but good and evil defined as good works, evil doesn't.
Yeah, we're not disagreeing on that at all. I think that is what the greater picture is. But
we never disagree. We just tell our stories in a different way.
Oh, yes, we do.
But it's an interesting time we're living in. And I think it's necessary to look at that. I mean, really, this whole atheistic anarchy that was creeping in, I mean, when did we get civics out of the schools? When did we stop saluting saying the allegiance to the flag every day? You know, when did we stop saying anything about God? That God, now if you're talking about religion and God, oh no, that's not politically correct. I mean, why did we let all these things happen? Because we weren't aware of
right.
what those things meant.
As a shaman,
yes,
there's a reason I'm in America. Cut. The beer's good and it's cheap. That's one of the reasons. But there's a reason I'm in America, right? America has a sacred purpose. I talk about this all the time. If America can prove unity through diversity and hold on to its national sovereignty, where people from all over the world can come and, you know, live together, one will be Armenian, one will be Greek, but we'll have a set of values that is American, that fights against Luciferianism, which is globalism. So when they are trying to make you embarrassed to be an American, it is a Luciferian agenda. If America falls, the planet falls. It is a sacred proving ground. It doesn't matter what happened in the past. Everybody has effed somebody in the past. The past sins do not obviate thriving in the future. It is very important for our soul sovereignty, national sovereignty, and planetary sovereignty that America remain flying the flag and true to the principles of the founding fathers, and try to seek to honor that, to honor America as opposed to try to destroy it. What is being portrayed today as liberalism is destroying the country from the inside out. And that is exactly what the globalists want. They don't want America to be anything other than a piece of land that they control, that they give a designation to, in exactly the same way as they did to the European Union, which is why Britain finally left. This is the homogenization of people, going right back to the very beginning of this show. You erode all sense of national identity, of color, and then you take over and you run the world as a company, and you and I become microchipped drones begging for crumbs under a fully laden table.
Not in my reality.
Not in my reality, and not on my watch. So, well, you know, wake up, people.
What's really interesting is on the Shungite show a week ago, Craig Stewart, who's an Australian who married and is living with his wife in Spain, he said, I just really want to make this point that the conspiracy the conspiracy movement started in America, and we, the rest of the world, watched it and then started participating in it. He said, you people have to know that the world is looking at how you do this. You know, that it's not just,
right.
It's not just America. It's the entire world is looking at America and saying, how are you going to deal with this? And it's simple.
He's right.
We're going to think ourselves into a new reality. And we're doing
Damn
it.
Right.
You know, it's like I tell people I want to start a new party called the Patriot Party. You know, based on the preamble of the Declaration saying, you know, that all men are created equal. And, you know, happiness and pursuit of happiness. And, you know, that quote, plus the fact that we are going to support the Constitution, which from all of the various, you know, types of governments, this is the one that works best to secure freedoms and works
yes.
best to secure economy. We've never had economy in the world history like we have in the United States. That's just a fact. And, you know, I am a certified BA in history. I know what I'm talking about here. So when you look at those factors, you know, and what is the Patriot Party? Well, you can follow Q or not follow Q. You can support Trump or not support Trump. But the only thing that you need to do is look at it and say, Trump is going to at least continue with an economy that can, and freedoms and caring for everybody. He's bringing in compassionate capitalism, because that's what went wrong, is we were dealing with capitalism, not compassionate capitalism. And the difference is very little, but profound, because he's saying to people, look, we got to give money to the businesses, because the businesses give it to the workers. You know, and it's still that in the businesses that everything that you are is based on your workers. And as once you get that in play and you're dealing with capitalism, which is I have something you need and I want this from you to get what I have. Now that is capitalism, but we're living in a world where capitalism is not the ruling, the rule that's being followed. It's need. Those commercials make you desire. It's all those frigging commercials that, you know, are making you worry about your damn toenails.
Right. Exactly. So, as I always say, and I say this ad nauseum, the only issue we have right now is deep state ideology. The only person actively not influenced by it and is fighting against it is Trump and the Patriots. Okay? The future of America dictates the future of the world. So I just urge people to take a really good look at what's happening around them and get back to the principles of why this country was founded, because that is the savior for the next 1,000 years of life on this planet.
Okay, now, First off, we have to say to Dolly. Dolly, did you want to say something? Because she doesn't want to be interrupted.
I'm not worried about my toenails.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Can I fast forward through the frickin' commercials? Yeah. I don't give a poop what they say.
Okay. All right. If you don't have anything else to say, what I need to, because we're running out of time, the show really quick. You promised me that you would at least relate some of the information that you received from your friends, the ETs. Are you
yes.
going? Okay, good.
Right now, the consensus up there, because they are in orbit, so they are up there. The consensus is, it is so crazy behind the scenes with the light versus dark scenario that they've honestly had to withdraw some of the help that they've been giving to people because it violates certain free will clauses. And even though they're not going away, they've been here since 1913 helping Mother Earth to maintain her body. Because, little known fact, but had the extraterrestrials not come and put a universal light grid around Earth circa 1913, we would not be here today because it would be an ice age. Because Mother Earth cried out to the God of this universe and said, these people, I love them, but they're killing me, quite literally killing me. So they've been here, the extraterrestrials, since 1913-ish, and they're not going away anytime soon. But when I've asked my questions about, come on, tell me about Space Force, tell me about how you're helping to skip this nasty 5G and go straight into quantum 6G, this time around, the information that I got was, we have stepped back until you guys sort your shit out. Simple and plain. And we're keeping an eye. And we're giving help wherever we can. But this is such a pivotal time in your collective evolution. You've got to figure it out on your own. And then I got a little message on a more practical basis from somebody out there who's a little bit more friendly. And I mean, they're all friendly. It's just they appear aloof, but we're probably so stupid to them, you know. Is be prepared for food shortages on your planet. Okay? And this is something I've always said, that everybody, every good American should be a prepper. You should always have 3 months in advance of everything that you use on a daily basis, that if you didn't have it, would impact your health and your quality of life. So if we look through history, we will see that after mind control comes food shortages. It's the last thing that they can control if they're losing a battle, is to feed you. So that if you starve, you have to go and eat the government cheese, as it were, right? So we see right now that crops are being plowed back into fields because distribution and chain supply is breaking down. We see how difficult the FDA is making it for small animal farm holders to sell their meat outside of individual cut and wrap for their own family. We see what's going on here. The writing is on the wall. My advice to everyone is, by the time a government, and this is nothing to do with the government, it's not the government making these decisions, it's the establishment. But by the time an administration announces food shortages, it's too late. So please, everybody, I would like you to do the following. I'm not a control freak. You want to starve, go ahead. But I advise that you and your family make a list of everything that you use, eat, and need on a daily basis. And then make sure that you go out and you have enough for 3 months' supply. I have 12 months personally, but minimum of 3 months supply, and you put that aside and don't touch it. That is your long-term prepper pantry. And then make sure that every time you buy what you need for that week, you buy a little bit more with a long expiration date and add it to your prepper pantry. And I won't go in great detail on this show because you can go to lots of prepper sites, but clearly do something sensible. Don't buy stuff you don't like. Buy stuff you like or like well enough to eat. And a word of advice that I have learnt the hard way with prepping, when you see all these prepper videos. If the prepper video is some guy and he lives alone, don't follow his advice if you're female or you have a family, because it's all going to be MREs, Cheetos, beer, bourbon, and inedible Walmart meatballs in a can. Go to a prepper site that is presented by a female with a family, and you will get the very best advice on how to prep, how to can, what to keep, and what not to keep. I'm very serious about this. Let's put it this way. We hope, we pray, and we know that we're going to walk on the other side of this into the light. But that could be next year. And if distribution chain supply and all of that stuff breaks down, which it inevitably will, you want to be as self-sufficient as possible so you don't have to bend your knee to the very people that are trying to kill and enslave you. So get out there, my fellow Americans, and prep your little hearts out sensibly. Don't waste your money. Do the research. If you need good hints, email me. I'll send you links that I think will save you a lot of time. And that's about as much as I can share from my extraterrestrial information. But when they give such practical advice, I think that they see that the potential for food shortage and for being held hostage by food is high.
Okay, I'm going to disagree with you in the word inevitable. Okay, because you've got two realities. The reality where it is inevitable is the dark, you know, the matrix coming apart. I'm very much absolutely certain that we have a new reality where none of that has to happen. And so, am I a prepper? Well, yeah. I mean, I've got, you know, I planned years and years and years ago. I've got food that lasts 30 years in a can. I hope I never have to open it. But in this reality...
But you have it.
But I do have it. So I'm not telling people not to prepare. Because if you prepare and it starts to slide that way, you're going to go into panic and fear if you don't have it. If you have it, even if we get that close that we're starting to slide into it, at least you know you're going to be safe enough and you won't go into that panic, and you can then use your human 3D, you know, physicality to be able to put out energy that will switch us from that old reality into the new reality. So
I don't understand what you're saying.
Okay,
Are you telling people to prep or not to prep?
I'm telling people, if you feel like you need to prep, okay, because you're afraid, okay, the only time that this would be necessary is to get your head clear. I'm always one looking at my head, you know, where's my head? If I'm about to flood, I go through the house and what will happen if it goes so high? So that your head is prepared. And to be able to know that you can go into 3 months of survival is a really good, stable head trip. And I don't know how close we'll come to, you know, getting into some nasty stuff. I need people very, very strong in their minds. So go prep. Get enough that you're good for 3 months. Feel good about it. But realize, don't focus on the fact you might need it. Focus on the fact that you don't need it, even though you've got it. Because it'll give you more stability in the way that you're going through the next few months.
Right. Thank you for clarifying. Everybody should have an emergency kit for 3 months minimum. Anyway, you know, there could be an earthquake. You don't know.
Well, you should for, you know, hurricane. That's why I initially did it.
Right.
You know, so you should always have it there, but don't focus on, I don't think it's inevitable. I think that we can, you know, create a new reality just swiftly. I mean,
right. I'm sure we can. There's a great deal of people out there who are just coming to this for the first time. And as you said, I think it'll be wonderful for them to know that at least they have a prepper pantry ready while they figure it all out.
Right, exactly. Exactly. But it doesn't have to be inevitable. You know,
I have a question from the audience.
Okay.
Audience from our chatters. Time is asking, who are the ETs, Ani? Where do they come from? Please.
This particular one are Palladians. I have on occasion spoken to Arcturians. They're notorious for not having a sense of humor. But the Palladians are the ones that I talk to, and they're part of a system called the Ashtar Command. And they are under the command of the chap that I talk with is a chap called Commander Hatton, who's the communications director for that Ashtar Command.
Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
So you're going to be having some get-togethers during August. Do you want to tell people about that, what you got planned?
I've got a lot of private groups, etc. But I'm going to be doing a retreat on the beautiful Umpqua River with author and charismatic powerhouse Petra Nicole. So if you'd like to go to my website, all the details are on there, or go to petranicole.com. It's .com. It's a 3-day retreat in a beautiful house on the Umpqua River in Central Oregon near Roseburg. And we'll be doing a lot of swimming and eating and drinking, but every afternoon, and meditating, of course, every afternoon I'll be holding classes on various things, up to and including what is deep state and how did we allow that to take over our planet. And so, you know, we'll be talking about the importance of maintaining connection with supreme cosmic intelligence and realigning the planet to its golden age. So everything that we just talked about, it'll be that 101. How do we overcome this ridiculousness that we're going through and make sure that it doesn't happen again? And also lots of good food, good company. It's going to be fun.
And they have facilities there? I mean, do they have to get hotels or, you know?
The website will explain it. There's a certain amount of, lodging in the house because it's a pretty big house. If you have a camper, it's free. You can come and put your camper there. And if not, there are tons of motels in Roseburg to choose from. So it's petranicole.com, PetraNicole.com. Go to the events page. 3-day retreat, August, I believe 2021-22. And all the details will pop up. It'll be fun.
Yeah, it sounds like fun.
Yeah.
So we're in the last 3 minutes here of the show. Dolly, you want to say goodnight?
Yeah, thanks everybody for coming and listening. And for those of you who listen on the YouTube and commenting. I'll be talking with you from Dolly World whenever I talk to you the next time. So from Dolly World, bye-bye.
Okay, before we go, I have to say something. You people out there, we talked last week, and maybe we've even talked with Ani about John Kennedy Jr. being alive and that he was supposed to, you know, show himself at Rushmore and stuff. But the weird thing is that Mary Hart, and you may have seen this, Mary Hart had on a dress that had a similar cut and a similar look to a dress being used by a model, or I don't know if it was a dress, like what a model was wearing on one of the George magazines that John published. And
Washington, the Washington magazine.
What do you mean by Washington?
That's the name of his magazine.
No, it's George. George is the name of the magazine. But, behind this model is for Rushmore, and so Hart is wearing something mimicking this particular George magazine. So, you know,
it's the same colors, but yeah, opposite.
So
it's red and white.
At least it made Dolly feel better.
Yes, it did. It made me feel much better. I'm over my snit.
Anyway, so, Ani, you want to say goodnight, hon?
Yeah, thanks everyone for listening in and just, you know, hearing us schmooze about this, that, and the other. And mwah, love you all.
And I thank you all. And I forgot to put up the thingy. Okay, here it is. So good night, everybody. Be safe. And, you know, don't get yourself some stuff to get through 3 months. But don't focus on the fact you'll ever need it. Focus on the fact that we're going to a new reality. It's going to be a lot easier trip than we might think, I hope. That's what I'm focusing on. Good night, everybody. Be safe.
Love you, Annie and Nancy.
Thank you. Love you.
Say What? Say What Radio Show. With no agenda. It's always a surprise. But if we're not having fun, we're doing something wrong.